that his peace be unto you. We begin putting our complete trust in Allah, the Lord, the Creator, Cherisher, Sustainer of the worlds. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The name Allah, the Gracious, the Compassionate. And we pray peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, his servant and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace and the blessings be on him and on his descendants, his companions, the righteous and Muslims and believers. We pray that peace be on us and that Allah help us in our efforts and make this occasion a success for Muslims, a success in the eyes of our Lord, whose name is Allah Most High. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We praise Allah, Lord of all the worlds. And I want to read from the chapter of the Quran to begin with, the chapter by the title Ash-Shams, the Sun. I believe that the chapter has been read already in Arabic. Is that correct? Did you read Ash-Shams in Arabic? Well, come on, let's read Ash-Shams, Surah Ash-Shams. I'll stand here right now. All right, fine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما تحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بطغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها صدق الله العظيم.
I will give the English now from this English translation of the original text of Quran, as you know, which is in the Arabic language, the pure Arabic. You might call it classical Arabic, but actually the revelation, the Quran, to Muhammad, who himself, peace be upon him, was not literate. But God inspired him with revelation, and the language of revelation in the Arabic tongue, in the tongue of the Arabs, set the standard for the language from that time since. Now, when you study Arabic grammar in college, high school, college, elementary school, high school, college, whatever level you study Arabic grammar on, yardstick, the rule for measuring the excellence of the grammar, the excellence of the language, the excellence of the expression, the composition, whatever, will be referred to Quran. Quran. The Quran has really set the standards for the excellence of language. Ever since it was revealed, and that is now a little over 1,400 years ago. That in itself is the miracle. That Allah revealed to a man who himself was not literate, an orphan child, Muhammad the prophet, the messenger, and the last messenger, revealed to him, and the words came out on the tongue of an Arab, but the tongue was the tongue of eloquence, the tongue of Fusha, al-Arabi, Fusha, the best Arabic, set the standard for the language from that time on. That in itself is a miracle. And if you understand it, it is a miracle in answer to the promise of God in Scripture. The Torah, the Old Testament, the Injil, the Gospel, it is an answer to that. And I'm sure you people who are familiar with the Bible, you understand. Though you might reject, but you do understand. I want to read now this English translation by Marmaduke Pitfall. There are many translations by scholars who have the ability to make translation from the Arabic language to another language. And the Quran hasn't been translated into as many languages as the Bible has, but the number of translations are increasing now with great speed. That Quran in French and Spanish and the major languages. Now, when just a few years ago we didn't have it. And God willing, the African-American man over here will have a translation soon in English. American English. Yes, because this American English is not like European English. So let me now read in English these verses. And mind you, no translation equals or has the power of meaning, the power of expression, that is in the original text, the Arabic text. Nothing. That revelation, that language is revelation itself. Understand? The Quran itself, the language, the very language itself, the way the words are put together, formed and put together and arranged, is revelation itself. Not only is the meaning revelation, but the way the sounds come, the way the words are arranged, the way they convey meaning, all of that is revelation itself. So no language can do justice. That's why every person who becomes a Muslim should feel obligated to learn Arabic at least enough, classical Arabic, not spoken Arabic. Don't learn Egyptian Arabic. Don't learn Pakistani. Don't learn that. Learn classical Arabic well enough so you can at least understand the essentials of the religion from the reading of the Quran in the original text, in the original language. Now, that's not asking too much of believers. That will educate you. That will educate you where you haven't been educated. It will give you an education in an area that you haven't been educated in. It will even make other languages more understandable to you. It'll make more language, you'll appreciate other language more. And it's a shame, you know, on Americans, all Americans, I mean the so-called true American. It's a shame on us that we know nothing but English, and most of the people of the world know 2, 3, 4, 5 languages. It's a shame on us. So we follow the pattern, we follow the way of the American man, the white man over here, and we blacks, we have no interest in learning anything unless the white man has learned it. So we learn English and maybe say, parlez-vous français, and we finish. So let's read now the English translation. The title is The Sun in Arabic as Shams. Revealed at Mecca, this was revealed to Muhammad, the prophet, peace be on him, at Mecca. Mecca, as you know, is a sacred city, the venerable city, the respected, the regardful, the city that is held in sacred regard. The holy precincts are there. The first house built by God's prophet, his prophets. Abraham and his son, Ishmael, as it's called in the Bible. Ibrahim and Ismail, or Abraham and Ishmael, as it's called in the Bible, or in the Western language. Not only that, the whole vicinity there is sacred, and much of God's work and miracles took place right there in that vicinity. And mind you, it is the original or the first house ever built to the worship of God, there in that place. Yes. So this chapter was revealed there. Some other chapters were revealed in Medina. Most of the chapters are Mecca and Medina. That's how the chapters are, either revealed in Mecca or in Medina. Now we begin with the first verse that opens like all the other chapters of the Quran except only one, and that chapter has the same attributes of God given within the framework of the chapter itself. And the attributes that I am referring to now, the attributes of beneficence, the attributes of compassion or mercy. And every time we begin reading the Quran, we see God, the gracious or the beneficent, God, the merciful or the compassionate. And it really baffles me almost to see anyone being afraid of a book like that. A book that reminds you before you read it that God is gracious, he's giving, and he is merciful. Now, how can I be a believer and not be touched and influenced and have my own personality and spirit shaped by that description of God? In fact, it has been said by the messenger of God, peace be on him, and by the scholars since the early days of this religion under the prophet, peace be on him, that Muslims are obligated. As God is merciful, Muslims must be merciful. And that goes for all of the attributes of God that God has created us with in human limit, whereas he have those same attributes in divine perfection. But he has shared with his creatures, with his creation, those same attributes. And I repeat, it really baffles me to see people being afraid of the Quran. Now, I know some religions that I'm afraid of, but not this one. With that open, then comes the first verse. By the sun and his brightness. Actually, I would translate it by the sun and her brightness. But maybe he is more correct. But I would say by the sun and her brightness, because the Arabic indication here, the grammatical indication here, is that it's her and not his. Washamsi wa duhaha. Or we should say, and its brightness, either its brightness or her brightness. That's another thing we should understand, that in Arabic grammar, there is no neuter gender. It's either male or female. I don't know why everything has to be Trinitarian. in the West. By the sun and its brightness, and the moon when she followeth him. Well, I guess that's why he says she followeth him. I would say when it followeth it, or when she followeth her. But as I say, I could have the weaker position. He could have the stronger, you know. I'm not here to try to prove anything. Not in that area right now. So, and the next verse. And the day when it revealeth him. Actually, it's talking about the soul, isn't it? And the day when it revealeth him. And the night when it enshroudeth him. Enshroudeth him means covers him, right? Covers him. And the heaven and him who built it. Now that's talking about God, because we know we didn't build it. And the heaven and him who built it. And the earth and him who spread it out. God. And his soul and him who perfected it. Again, man and God who perfected the soul of man. Not every man, but he perfected the soul of some men. Prophet Muhammad, he perfected the soul of Prophet Muhammad and left it as a bright light for us so that we can mold ourselves in that form or after that form. And inspired it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا. And it's translated, and inspired it with conscience of what is wrong for it and what is right for it. So conscience God gave us as a natural property. The world society makes us conscious, but the first to make us conscious was God. And that was the perfect conscience. Yes. I haven't seen a criminal baby yet in the nursery. In fact, we have to wait a few years for it. Until we make him, right? He is indeed successful who causes it to grow. Causes what to grow? Qad aflaha man zakkaha, referring to the soul. But the soul has properties of piety and intelligence, which we will come to. In fact, it's mentioned here. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And inspired it with consciousness of what is right and for it, what is wrong for it, and what is right for it. He indeed is successful who causes it to grow. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. He is indeed successful who causes it to grow. Now, those who are familiar with previous scriptures revealed before the Quran, you know the importance of growth. If you're familiar with scripture, you know the importance of growth. And in fact, the condition for being accepted is that you have growth. That you have growth. Now, you may call it fruits, products, talents, however you may describe it, it's the same. The proof of your qualification to be accepted by God is that you have growth. According to the other scripture, and here too, if we understand. And he is indeed a failure who calls it to be stunted. stunt the growth, hinder the growth, retard the growth, cause the soul to be degenerate rather than forward going. That tells us then that God created man with a purpose, and he created his soul with an aim. The soul has an aim, an inherent aim in the soul of man, that it must seek and go after its destiny. Its destiny. God has given the soul a destiny. God has created man with an excellence. That excellence is in his soul, is in him when he's born, like a seed. It has to find the right situation, the right environment, the right conditions for its bursting forth, growth, and maturity. So to say man is born in sin and iniquity, to say man is conceived in sin, born in iniquity and all this, to speak of man in those discrediting words is really ignorance. Some people look at the fallacies of man, look at the defects of man, look at the problems of man, the clumsiness of man, the lack of skill on the part of man, the ignorance of man. They look at all of these shortcomings in man, and they judge him by his errors and not by his purpose. They judge him by his shortcomings and not by his destiny. They judge him by what he does in a bad situation and not by what he's created for. They judge him by trends that are created, that are influenced in him because of bad situations in the world, and not by the original trend that God set in him, the trend toward excellence. So if God created me with the urge, the main urge in me is toward excellence. Science bears witness to this. Science says that life is evolved. Science tells us that the growth of life is evolution. Is evolution. Evolution means graduation from lower to greater, from lower to more. From weak to strong, from simple to complex, from inferior to excellence. That's what evolution tells us. But evolution doesn't say that none of these creatures that have been given to this pattern. That pattern is given to them. They're going to rise. They're going to go the way of that pattern. But it doesn't say that none of them are going to be defected. None of them are going to fall into bad circumstances and won't really be the beautiful picture that they should be. No. You're going to have those exceptions to the rule. But the rule is excellence. That man has been created to be motivated toward excellence. And that excellence is in him when he's born. He's created with it. Just as the seed has the quality of the fruit in it while it is dead. In it while it is yet grown. Yet ungrown. It's not grown, it's ungrown. While it is yet ungrown, no growth has been manifested at all. That seed has in it the excellence of the fruit, the quality of the fruit. All has been put into the seed. All the seed needs is the right situation for it. The right situation for it. And the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, all people are born Muslim. But it is the circumstances that they are put into that makes them otherwise. Jew or Christian or whatever, atheist or whatever. That happens because of the circumstances that you're put in. In fact, science records that a certain man, what is he called, Wild Boy or something like that, he was found by one of the social researchers who explore primitive societies. to see just how society forms before man has a hand into it. And they studied this boy and found that this boy was lost contact, was separated from human beings, from parents, early, before it could learn the life and ways of human beings. But it managed to survive among animals. It could not speak as a human being. It could not walk as a human being. It did not behave as a human being. It behaved in every respect as an animal. But when that boy was found and brought in touch with human beings, gradually the boy began to take on the behavior and the personality, the spirit of a human being, which is the living fact, testimony, scientific proof of what Prophet Muhammad says, that you are born to be one thing, but your environment, your circumstances, will make you be something else. I'm not here to fool you. You know, I'll tell you from the very get-go. Islam is my religion. And it's your religion. If you're a human being, or if you're a planet, a star, if you're a fruit tree, I don't care what you are, Islam is your religion. And if Jesus was here, peace be upon him, he would say, yes. He would say, tell him again. And that goes for Moses and all the rest. So where are you coming from, mister? From the same book. He is indeed successful who causes it to grow. Some translations gives the English it this way. He is successful who spins on it. Who spins on it. Like I said, the Arabic meanings are so rich that it's hard to find a translation that will do justice. So it is good to even be aware of more than one translation by excellent scholars. Not just one translation. Be aware of more translations by excellent scholars. Nothing is wrong with this, though. This is right. He who causes it to grow will be successful. Spending on it is what causes it to grow. If you spend on it, you cause it to grow. If you don't spend on your children's education, you will stunt their academic growth. Huh? Spending on their education helps them to grow. Now, you give dollars. But dollars is not what is needed for the child. Dollars is needed for the rent bills, the phone bills, and et cetera, electric bills, the Mercedes or whatever the teacher has to have, right? And the building and the properties and all of that is needed for, and the taxes and everything, whatever. That's what the dollars are needed for. Actually, you're spending on that child's education. But what you have to offer is not education, but dollars to pay the educator to educate that child. So he who spends on it will be successful. He who spends his knowledge in the world for the benefit of those that don't have it. Huh? And the first obligation is to yourself. Don't be ignorant. You are obligated to see that you get some sense, some intelligence, some understanding, knowledge, education. You're obligated. Yourself obligates you. And again, God says that. And the prophet has said that. Yourself obligates you. Well, now that's our subject, isn't it? Yes. The Islamic formula for a successful life. And you will not be successful. God tells us very clearly, very expressly here, you will not be successful if you don't spend on your own self. Now, the trouble with us is we spend on the weakest. The weakest identity of ourselves. Now, you know, man is identified in many ways. We will spend on our mortal self. We will spend on our biological self. Oh, it's going to be cold. I got to get me some shoes. I want to pay, you know, $50 for them. Some poor fellow, I'm going to get me a pair of man that costs $75. I got to get those shoes. He's spending on himself. He's spending on himself, right? I've got to have that long leather coat, man. I saw one that goes all the way down to your shoes, man. I got to have that leather coat, you know. He's spending on himself. But that's not the way. That's spending on your more distant self. You know, man's self goes out, and himself comes in. The more he comes in, the closer he comes to the nucleus of himself, you know. And if you can destroy the nucleus of a thing, you have totally destroyed it. You can hit a thing and hurt it from the outer extremities, and maybe it won't even cause it any impairment at all. It'll continue to function and operate just as though you didn't even hurt it. But if you can damage the very nucleus of that thing, you have destroyed that thing. So we spend all our time dressing up, pampering, babying, carrying the more distant self, the outer self, the extremities of ourself, and neglect the sanctuary of man. God here is telling us to spend on the sanctuary of man. Spend on the most sacred quarters of your life, your inherent essence of excellence and value. Spend on it. And precious is the intellect of man. Precious is the conscience of man. The conscience that gives him the power or the sense, pardon me, to know right from wrong. So we are not reading in English all of the verses. We stopped short of about five verses. We're reading only the one verses 1 through 10. At the last verse, the 10th verse, I repeat it. It says, "And he is indeed a failure who stunts it, who stunts the growth of his own soul." Have patience with me. We don't like to rush anyway. They used to call me slow. They still do. I heard someone that knew me from my childhood. They told one of the imams recently, he called to see how I was, or whether I was coming, or whatever. He said, "Well, you know how slow he is, don't you?" I don't like that. I don't like procrastinating. I don't like being slow, because you miss the boat sometime, right? I don't like that. But I tell you, it hasn't been too bad for me. I haven't missed much. And I found a lot of things that I was late for. I didn't want to be there with it anyway. Now, that's not aimed at you here, this audience. I have all the respect for you. I was very anxious to get out here on time. But the security brother who was supposed to let us know when it was time for us to go, I said, "Let us know when it's time to go." Imam Hassan told us, I tell on him before everybody. Imam Hassan, Kareem Hassan told us, when we went up in the room, it wasn't time to go. I said, "Well, how much time we got? How soon we should be going?" He said, "In about 20 minutes. So we went in the room. I said, "Okay, well, because, you know, when they say that, that doesn't mean anything." Now, I'm not criticizing them now. Sometimes they're getting news from back at the scene that it's not quite time. So that 20 minutes may be extended to 30 minutes, maybe even 40 hours. So I'm sitting up there waiting. And now it's 2:00. I'm feeling uneasy. I told my son, Wallace, who was with me for the first time in a blue moon, I told him, I said, "Something I must be gone wrong. He said, should I go? And I said, yes. I said, go and see what has happened. So when he went out there, the security brother came to the door and said, oh, you ready? Say, you didn't hear me knock? So Wallace said, yes, I heard a knock like about a half an hour ago, something like that, 15 minutes ago or something like that, he said. And the security brother said, that was the second knock. So I told him, I said, yes, we did hear a knock. Well, we thought it was next door. The knock was so soft, it sounded like it was next door. See, the next door is right like that. No more space in that. That's the next door. And the brothers are over there in that room, too. So we thought it was a knock next door, but we didn't take it for granted. No. I told Wallace, I said, will you go to the door? He said, okay. He went to the door to see who knocked. He looked through the little peephole. He didn't see anybody. So obviously the security man tapped and stepped away from the peephole. So I want you to understand what happened. So he was sincere, very sincere. He said, well, you didn't answer, so we didn't want to disturb you. We thought maybe you were working on your notes. Because I do be working on my notes, you know. I be working on my notes up this last minute. Sometime in the car, coming over, I still be working on my notes, you know. But I told them earlier today, I said, well, I'm finished. I'm ready to go now, before we even went up to the room. I said, I'm ready to go now. Everything is finished. But obviously, they thought that maybe I had gotten back into it, you know, and was working on my notes. So we were late because of poor judgment on maybe our part and the security man's part, but definitely on the security man's part. Because I told him the phone rings, why didn't you phone us? Yeah, you can phone, right? If I tap on your door, I don't get no results, I'll kick the phone and call you, say, hey, what's happening there? Be worried. But as I said, I know him. He's very sincere. And I don't think we had that problem again. Well, see, a sincere person, they don't want to make it. They don't want to create any problems. Yeah. I hope you don't think I'm talking about the FBI, the FOI, the goon squad going to get them. That's days of the caveman, the black caveman. Right. We left those days long time ago. Not that you left it, but we left. I can't speak for all of you. But I know we left those days. Doesn't mean that we can't halal an animal now. You know, some men, they're so squeamish. They can't even halal chicken. Now we can halal them. We know our right. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, he's halal. In the name of God, God is greater. That's all you have to remember, right? So when you subdue the animal doesn't spoil you. See, victory will spoil a man, won't it? Yeah, victory will spoil a man if he doesn't humble himself to his creator. He has to humble himself before his creator, then victory won't spoil him. Look how victory spoiled the Romans. Look how victory spoiled America. How it used to brag, arrogant nation. Roman Empire bragged, British Empire, sun never sets on our territory. I heard the American government representative say myself as a child. I heard him on the radio with my own ears. He said, we can police the world. That's what I heard on the news as a child. I wasn't even in my teens. But it hit my ears, and I never have forgotten it. In fact, it's just like I'm hearing it right now. It's just that clear in my mind. It said, we can police the world. That was when World War II was being fought. We can police the world. Now, he got you saying, we can police this turf, man. I wouldn't want to be no small policeman like that. I have read from the surah, or the chapter, titled The Son, to set the stage for this presentation, to say from the very outset that God created man perfect. It doesn't mean that man is an angel. No, our religion makes it very clear that when God created man, he didn't create an angel. He created a human being. A creature given a limited free will. A creature that because of his own degree of excellence above other matter, other creatures, he's also put in tests and trial, put to test and trial, more so than any other creatures. The angels are not tested like that. Animals are not tested like that. Man is tested. And he must earn respect and acceptance before God and civilized man by his own effort. He's going to make mistakes, but the natural urge in him is to grow toward more and more improvement. He's going to commit sin. He's going to be guilty of sin. But sin is not his purpose. Sin is not his destiny. So since sin is not his purpose, not his destiny, we cannot say he is sinful by nature. Huh? His purpose is his nature. You must define the man's nature according to his purpose, according to the aim in him. The aim in his life, the evolutionary direction in his life. You must define his nature on that basis, not on the things that he may do while progressing along that line. Huh? Because an automobile, a driver, he may stop and get a cup of coffee, but that's not the purpose. You can't put a value on his trip, say, hey, the value of his trip is a cup of coffee. The man was going to see the president. He was driving to see the president. So it doesn't change the value of his trip because he stopped and got a cup of coffee. And you're ignorant to write about his trip and say, coffee, 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 and emphasize coffee and forget that he's going to see the president. Praise be to Allah. Believe me, we are doctors of science. And though I don't have a credential, a B.S., M.A., Ph.D., if I do well, good service to what God has revealed, I am a doctor, a doctor of science, not voodoo. So, dear audience, believers, Muslims, people, because I'd have called you all Muslims already, you know. What we mean by that is that the nature, your inherent nature in life is Muslim. And that word simply means that that life is akin in its form and in its purpose to the whole external reality of matter. It's no different in its form and purpose when it comes to conforming to the order of the universe that God himself made. It is no different. They all are the same. The sun and the stars are Muslims. The trees are Muslims. The human beings and the animals are Muslims. But the human being is the Muslim proper, because he can come into the Muslim life of his own free will. And God said, after he created the universe, whole thing, he said, come now, willing or unwilling. And the angels and all those things that God made, they came willingly. But rebellious man, he had a problem.